You can go ahead and open your Bibles to Ephesians 6. Put a marker in Luke 15. Probably John 17 and thereabouts. I'm really do my best to be attentive when other members are speaking at the prayer center. Like this morning at the 8:30 service, Tim spoke. If you missed that service, you missed half your life. I can't wait to get my hands on it, listen to it again. It's way too much to digest in a single service. Right. And all kinds of triggers were going off in my spirit going, you need to pay attention here. You need to pay attention here. I'm not the only one, right? Okay. You know. But then I always, because I know the mind of Christ flows through this place, when you have as many people seeking God and praying in the Holy Ghost, then they're going to be hearing from the same teacher and they're going to be having the mind of Christ. So basically, Tim's message was on truth. And in this case, emphasizing speaking the truth. Let every man speak truth to his neighbor. Now, speaking the truth doesn't change the truth. Isn't that good? Speaking the truth changes you. See? So I was listening to that and how he was drawing the all those truths, the truths about the truth out and going to what the essence of the truth, which we'll look at here in a minute. Jesus said two astounding things. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. It, for years I didn't get that, and I don't know if I've still got it to the depth that exists. But he wasn't saying, I came to tell you the truth, although he did. No, he says, I am the truth. I am. Does that remind you of anything in the Old Testament? I am that I am. I am the truth. And I remember when the Holy Spirit gave me the assignment years ago, years before we found the prayer center. That verse went off in me in John 14, I think it is, where one of them says, well, just show us the Father and it'll suffice us. And he says, Philip. He said, Philip, have I been with you so long and you don't know who I am? If you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. That one statement, I received an assignment from the Holy Ghost. He says, I want you to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John now. If Jesus is the express image of the Father, and it says He is, find out what He did. See, the prophets of old, they would tell you God is a healer. Jesus came to show you God is a healer. See the difference? So I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I found so many things that religion described as God that I never saw Jesus doing. You know, they'd say, well, God, you know, that car wreck, that was God. He was, you know, putting you flat on your back where you had to look up. Anyone ever hear anything like that, you know? Or that disease that's come, you know, He's testing you, or He's this or that. Your business failed because you got a little too prideful. So you start looking through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not once do you ever see Jesus putting anybody in any kind of a wreck. Not once do you see Him putting on sickness and disease. You find just the opposite. And even to the sinners caught in the act, drug off the bed of adultery, He says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I'm going, this Jesus, if He is the Father, if He is the truth, then I've been lied to by religion a lot. Been lied a lot. So I was watching the flow now from Tim delivering truth about the truth. Then I want to see how that would flow through Dave. Because I've watched, I've been around here too long. I know that the mind of Christ is going to keep coming. So Dave, he said he had a prepared message, you know, how we all do. I've done my homework. I'm ready to come teach. And then the Holy Spirit takes the service. And I watched as the Holy Spirit manifested truth. People got healed right from the get-go. But then especially when He called that line, the one that really got me, those that have been tormented even to the point of suicide. Even to the point of suicide. See, and I think about that. I have a sister, most of you know, that I only had one sister that did commit suicide about 40 years ago. And I won't even go into tonight the lies that religion said about that. They blamed it on God. But the truth of the matter is, do you ever see Jesus causing anybody to commit suicide? See, suicide, and it's not that we, you may, you know, how do I say this? When a person commits suicide, it's because they've been lied to the nth degree, to the point they're believing a lie, to the point they'll take their own life. Now, that's seriously, and I'm not saying they're not good people, I'm not saying, my own sister did that. And she loved the Lord. And we won't go into that right now. I will tell you this, another lie that I was raised with in the church I grew up in, they pretty much said that there was no chance for anybody that committed suicide to go to heaven. They had to go to hell because it was murder and there was no chance to repent. Makes sense to the rational mind, I guess, you know. Thing of it is, you know, you can be sick in your mind. You know, we don't condemn people to hell that die of cancer, even though Jesus, by His stripes, they were healed. And they may know that, and we can pray for them. And they wind up dying of cancer anyway. Well, we don't condemn them to hell because they died of a physical disease. Well, you can die of a mental disease. You can die of a mental disease. So that's just crazy. As Cole would say, that's just crazy talk. But it's but let's get back to that believing a lie, because I'm watching. Now, here's in the 8:30, here's Tim delivering truth about truth. Then in the 10 o'clock, I'm watching the demonstration of truth as the Spirit of truth is reaching out to rescue those that are on the verge of taking their own lives. Why? Because they're believing lies. Isn't it something? And you can be a God-loving, Jesus-born, tongue-talking Christian, and you can still believe lies. And religion, if we're not careful, can become a great enabler of deception. And that deception, I remember... Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And you already know the first piece of the armor is the belt of truth, right? It's like right at the end of the year, it hit me so strong. I don't know how many of you were here at that last Sunday morning service that I did at 10 o'clock. It was only like 35 minutes long or something. But in the course of it, I talked about this next year's... The title we put on that message is, It's Time for Strong Meat. By that I mean, we're not going to take the T-bone and grind it up anymore and spoon it out to you in little small bites with some A1 on it or ketchup, depending on how young you are, to make it easy to swallow. We're going to toss you a piece of meat and see if you choke on it. Because strong meat belongs to those that are full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to be able to discern good and evil. And that word exercise there is the Greek word gymnazu. There's a lot of other Greek words that could be used for exercise that are not as severe as that one. But the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to use that word there on purpose, because that is the word used for the most extreme Greek sports preparing for the Olympics, where they would practice naked in the arena, fighting, practicing. Because when they went into the real arena, like a boxer or a wrestler, many times it was to the death. And he's saying, strong meat belongs to people who will exercise their senses. That's the body part of us. That's the part of us. Not only the flesh, but also any unrenewed part of our soul. Let me say it a different way. Even the emotions. Understand this. It's normally the emotions. Deception comes through the reasonings. But emotions usually is the enabler. Person commits suicide not because of their reasoning. Reasoning set it up. But emotions are what carried out the act. Got that? So the lies start in the area of reasoning. But eventually, they work on the emotions. And that, you could use that not just in suicide. You could use that in murder. You could use that in revenge. You could use that in a lot of what the enemy does. But it's always a lie. Yes, sir. Right on the way driving down here, he was having me go through history in my mind, if you'll allow me, although I'm not the best history student. But, you know, this month, We've lost, in the last 30 days, we've lost two giants in Tulsa. We've lost Billy Joe Daugherty and Oral Roberts. And, you know, you could pick away at details, but both of them were giants. I'm not going to get into that right now. Yes, sir. He was running me through history, though. My mom tells me things I don't remember, things that I was too young. She says, and I told you before that I remembered that I would go off and watch the Oral Roberts black and white TV programs when I was young, you know, and I'd go turn those on. I was just fascinated by him sitting there he was in a tent usually, and he was sitting on the platform, and a mother and child would come by, and he'd reach with that hand and pray and do whatever he did, and I was just fascinated. But something I forgot, she said, did you know that when you were 9, 10, 11, 12, you'd ask me to help you mail part of your allowance money to Oral Roberts Ministries? I said, no. She said, yeah. She said, you know, we'd give you like 50 cents a week, and you'd want to send 25 cents of it to Oral. And I know I wasn't after a hundredfold return then. If I was doing it at 9, I wasn't doing it for no hundredfold return or anything else. See, there was a drawing. There was a drawing even then. I could feel God coming through that man. And I wanted to be a part of it, see. Thank God for my mama. I didn't even remember that at all. She said one time when I sent it, said he sent me back a picture of Jesus. A little framed picture of Jesus. Isn't that something? Well, he was talking with me about history even on the way here. Thank God for the Oral Roberts of our day. Thank God for the Billy Joe Daughtys. He had these massive crusades. He went to Russia like 18 times after the Iron Curtain fell. I didn't know that. But what he was talking to me about, he was going, but even that, thank God for that. But what he has called this humble little place with our not wisdom of the world people, not many mighty, not many noble. You'd walk through the parking lot, look at the cars. You wonder how they make it back and forth to work. You know, most people take pride in how new their car is. We take pride in how many miles are on ours. That's going to change, by the way. It doesn't have to stay that. We're not proud of being poor either. But I'm just saying, he has called us to something that will change history. And something that hasn't been seen really on any kind of systematic regular basis in about 2,000 years. Now, we've had pioneers. They're not the only ones. You know, we've had many others that have had breakthroughs. But what he's calling this place to, if we apprehend that for which we were apprehended, a revival where you can bring the muscular dystrophy person and everyone you bring every time they go home healed. You tell me where that's been in history, other than Matthew 15, maybe the book of Acts, where Peter's shadow, that's pretty good. The shadow fall on them and they get healed, that's pretty good. Well, he says, if that's going to happen, then we're going to have to believe some truth that nobody has believed, even though it's been available for about 2,000 years. By definition, when you believe, can I just say, a truth, at that same moment, you disbelieve a lie. Truth isn't born in a vacuum. Truth replaces lies. Said a little differently, truth replaces religion. Said a little differently, truth replaces reasonings. T-bone this year. One time Dave was, this was back in 95, I think it was, and Dave was teaching on gospel entrepreneurship. Laid the foundation. I had never heard such things in my life. In the spirit of prophecy, God would prophesy through the man all the time. And I think the reason why, it was beyond Dave's understanding. So the Holy Ghost was bringing forth things that just right at the edge of what Dave knew. And even then, the Holy Spirit was talking about co-laboring with him, even in the realm of finances. And he was saying astounding things. Like most people think that they're losing time. You know, I'm a businessman. I should be bidding more jobs. I should be out doing this. I should be, you know, checking my assembly lines. I should be doing all that. Well, yeah, you have to watch over your business. But the Holy Spirit says you're not losing time, businessman. You're not losing time when you spend time with me. You're gaining time. Because what I will impart to you in the way of knowledge and ideas and wisdom will so far surpass the natural wisdom of man, no matter how talented or skilled they are, that you're not losing time. You're saving time. You're gaining time. Well, in the same way now he's telling me about this revival. I have to confess, and I think if I could sit one-on-one with most of you, if we let our hair down over a nice cup of coffee at the house of the Lord, as Jason would say, that's Starbucks. The big thing with me is not falling out of prayer due to sin or due to... I'll just tell you what it is. It's getting busy doing good things. It's so easy to get busy doing good, and I mean really good things. Like spending time with my grandkids. I'm not going to miss spending time with my grandkids. But what he's calling us to is a balance. Yes, sir. It's more than that. He's calling us to a war that we are not going to win unless we become warlike. Going to have to develop a warrior's heart. Scriptures are coming to mind. You know, no man. I'm not quoting it exactly, but no man called to the military entangles himself in the daily affairs of life. You know, you don't, when you're in the foxhole and they're bearing down on you with the idea of taking your life and they've got guns and they're coming at you, you don't go, just a minute, I got to go check on my business. I'll be right back. That's all out war. And where we're going, it's all out war. Man, have I read a verse yet? Spirit of prophecy's on me, but I was watching that today again. I'm just trying to follow him best I know how. He brought me back to today. Now, I heard truth, and then I watched truth. That's what's coming. We're going to preach the truth. Then the people are going to see the truth. And that's exactly what's coming. And you're going to be part of that. He hasn't had you here 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 2 months. I don't know how long. He hasn't had you here being trained for you to sit on your laurels. Sit on the sidelines. He's got you here for a purpose. Yes, sir. I'm trying. We have been enabled by religion to fail. You know what an enabler is? Go to Luke 15. I never realized until just very recently the neutralizing power of religion and how we're going to have to get even more free than we... I thank God I'm as free as I am today. There's so much that I know is... Religion can't have its way over me like it used to in a lot of areas. But I think it would just scare the bejabbers out of me if the Lord was to show me how much it still has. And what's happening? Say that, Lord. I don't know how to say that. See, human compassion
the Lord says, is as deadly as poison when it is substituted for my compassion. Now let me show you what I mean by that. And we haven't left the subject. We're still talking about truth. But now watch this. We're going to look at the prodigal son again. So Luke 15, verse 11. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You could write Gary and Sue in the margin right there. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Preach for a week right there. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. I read all that to read this next phrase. And no man gave unto him. Most Christians would have. Most Christians can't hear God well enough. Most Christians are led by chapter and verse rather than by the Spirit of the living God. So they codify the New Testament into a new law. To give you an example, I was raised with "Go ye into all," chiseled over the doors of most of the churches that I went grew up in, and I love this verse myself: "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Is that, don't we not have chapter and verse for that? I mean, is that not? And so the idea was, you get saved, you go to school, you be trained to be a missionary if that's what you feel you're called to do. Then eventually one day, it's time to go ye. You graduate. And where do you go? Well, go ye into all the world. Where do you think is best? And so even if you pray, still someday you've got to make a decision. And so the way I was raised, well, since we have chapter and verse, it's just really up to you. Then I go to this church. One day I'm reading Acts 16, where Paul and Silas had finished their assignment, whatever it was they were on, and they did not know what to do next. So they were thinking about going to Asia. And it says, then the Holy Spirit forbade them. What? My religiously trained mind went, what? Is not Asia in the world? Don't we have chapter and verse? Go ye into all the world. What do you mean the Holy Spirit forbade? So then they're thinking about going into Bithynia. And it said the Holy Spirit suffered them not. I'm going, the way I was raised, there is a leadership beyond chapter and verse. Now, chapter and verse is our food. Chapter and verse is your daily bread. That's, you're supposed to, he says, my words, they are spirit, they are life. You need to eat my words. You know, they are, Job said, thy word, I esteem it higher than my necessary food. But we're coming into a time now. He hasn't had, you could have stayed at the first church and be led by chapter and verse. We're coming into a time now to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Because Jesus Christ is alive and well. He has a present hour mind for each part of His body. You could have stayed in the first church and be led by chapter and verse. So, New Testament Christians that are led by chapter and verse, and you see this man hungry, you walk by. And he's so thin. Don't you imagine he looked thin? And maybe you can just tell by looking. Man, he's thinking about putting his mouth down here and eating with the pigs. Isn't that what it says? He was close to eating the same husks, same stuff they were eating. Most Christians, led by chapter and verse, and you know I love the Word. Don't you jump on me. You know I love the Word. But most of them, what from their mind, they're going to hear, feed the hungry. And they're going to come and they're going to offer him food. At that moment, human compassion would have become more deadly to that man. It would have become as deadly as poison when it's substituted for God's compassion. Now, in general, like a blanket thing, yes, we're supposed to feed the poor, take care of people. But that's no substitute for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. One day Sue was coming out. We have a famous place that hardly anybody, unless you're raised on the west side of town, you don't even know about this probably. But we have a place on the west side called Carl's Coney Island. It's in the ugliest strip center you ever saw in your life. I'm amazed that they haven't bulldozed it down. Sue and I have been getting conies there since the 8th grade. Tell you how old this place is. Since the 8th grade, we've been getting our conies there. And no place else is it the same. Now, one day Sue was walking out with her little go box. Probably had 3 or 4 hot, steaming coney dogs in there. Now, if God didn't grace you to be blessed to live in Oklahoma, a genuine coney is a bun and a hot weenie. And it's got chili on it, smothered in onions, with cheese just melting. Oh, my God. I think I'm... Pardon me while I take a moment for myself. So here you come, and the aroma is just, oh, so good. It's just so good. So she's coming out. She has 3 or 4. I don't know how many she has. And there's a homeless guy sitting there. And she immediately, Nasu is just immediately going to, there's not even a question. She is going to feed that person. She's going to give him something. And she heard the Lord say, give him one coney dog, if I remember right. Give him one. She said, oh, Lord, he looks really hungry. I'll just give him all of them. And he said, in a stern voice, this was years ago training us. He said, no, that would be going beyond my word. How many Christians are going to hear that? We're coming into a time of training. Do you notice Jesus in all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I don't know how many blind eyes were healed, and many more were healed that we're not told of. It says if all the things that he did were written in the books. But what is written is so that we can understand what he's about. But I notice he only ever spit on the ground and made clay one time. Never did that again. You reckon there's a reason why he did that? Reckon there's a reason why he didn't on the others? Yeah. Well, we're coming into a season where you're going to thank God for every hour you've spent praying in other tongues, every hour you've spent meditating the Word, every hour you've spent fasting, every hour you've spent doing any of this. Because the leadership that he's bringing us into, people, we just don't have anyone to look at on planet Earth. There's no school you can enroll in. And the reason I'm not against any of those schools, but if here's the qualification, here's the litmus test for Gary. If I can take Tommy Perez there and they can get him out of the chair, then I'll sit down in their class. But if they can't, I'm going to sit down in another class. I'm going to sit down in the classroom of the Holy Ghost because I've already figured it out. I'm a real smart fella. I've got this. I'm not. What I figured out is I'm not smart enough to figure it out. You got that? On my own, I'm not going to make it either. With all my best efforts, with all my intellect, with all my desire, God sent us a teacher. And his name is the Holy Ghost. And I think after all these years at the prayer center, I finally got it. He's the only one that can get me there. And the times for being too busy to pray, falling out of prayer, in and out, well, just not today. You know, I'll pray tomorrow. How many years are you going to... Is that the way a warrior is? I'll clean my rifle tomorrow. I'll get ammunition tomorrow. Trouble is, the enemy's coming today. Well, back here to the prodigal son. Thank God nobody gave to him. Thank God nobody gave to him. Some people have to hit bottom. Some people have to hit bottom and bounce a couple of times before they're ready. Because, see, ultimately it was not what man could, what anybody else could do for him. There was only one thing that would work. He had to make the decision to return to his father's house. I'm preaching real good tonight, by the way, in case you... And to return to your father's house is to return to truth. See, he tried to return with a lie. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? See, religion really commends him for this, his change of heart. Notice. So after no man gave to him, this is the passage, by the way, where I got that phrase, hunger is a great motivator. A lot of people enable their children to stay on drugs because they keep giving them money. You know? Yes, sir. Religion is the greatest enabler of all because it enables you to stay powerless. Religion causes us, and I'm talking about us, I'm talking about the prayer center right now. No matter how far we've come, we are still enabled at this moment to powerlessness for the most part. Why? There's only one reason why. We believe lies. That's the only reason why. We believe lies. So when the son came to himself, in verse 17, it says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Hunger is a great motivator. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, he was believing a lie about his father's heart right there. Now, he may have been sincere in his belief. And I've sat through great messages of, oh, isn't it wonderful, you know. Well, it is partly. You know, he had to have a humbling, all right. All right? But see, to think that way now, that your father would, that any parent, I don't know any parent that would like to have that arrangement with their son. So anyway, that's his plan. So he just starts saying it. I'm just no more worthy to be called thy son, and make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. I love this. The Lord showed me a vision one time. But when he was yet a great way off. Great way off. Does that sound like a block away? Half a mile away? Maybe? Great way off. Way out there. While he was still way out there, his father saw him. You know why? Father was looking for him. I'm about to have a running fit. And he showed me a vision. I don't know why it looked like this, but it was like there was this porch on this house. And it had just a porch, you know, and it had a railing like some of them have. I could see that father every day. And there was a dusty road that went way off in the distance, way out there. And I could see that father go out there on that porch. Just look off in the distance thinking, maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day my boy will come home. Maybe today. Oh, wonder if he's all right. Wonder if he's had enough to eat. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. Well, when you've sinned, don't run from God. He's not running from you. He's not hiding from you. He's looking for you. As soon as he saw him, he wasn't content to just sit there and wait till the boy got there. It says the father ran to me. He loves you. Fell on his neck and kissed him. That's our father. But that lying devil had how many people on the verge of committing suicide today? Believing some kind of lies compared with this one here, compared with the truth. Believing something, oh, I've done something wrong, I've been so unworthy, I've done this, I've done that. And through their avenue of reasonings, then start manipulating the emotions until finally they're on the verge of committing suicide. And truth comes and sets them free. Glory to God. Glory to God, people. We are going to demonstrate truth. First, we've got to know it. Then we've got to speak it, like Tim was saying this morning. But people, that's not the end. What the world's waiting to see is to see it demonstrated. See it demonstrated. It's the only way we're going to win the Muslim world. That's the only way we're going to win America back. Let's not talk about the Muslim world. How about win America back? Good stuff. Go over to John. John 17 may be the richest chapter in the Bible. It really may be. There's so much of it that's so rich. But here you have truth himself speaking to truth himself. God the Son speaking directly with God the Father. Boy, it doesn't get much better than that. We're not really let in on too many of Jesus' prayers. You know, it says he went up on the mountain and prayed all night. Oh, God, I wish we had a written record of those prayers. I told the Lord once, I'd give you money, Lord. Just like that help movie. Man, would you like to have a record of that? All night, what was he praying? Well, we've been looking. Tim spoke this morning about, and I've been speaking for a year about, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's how you put off the old man and put on the new. Okay. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, what are we renewing it with? Well, we're renewing it with truth. Real truth. And that's how we change. See, here it says in John 17:17, sanctify them. To sanctify is to take something, separate it, set it apart for God. This is yours. Nobody else can have it. That's when something is sanctified. Well, Jesus is praying to the Father. All these believers, and not just those that were there that day, but all who would believe through their words down through the generations, so it includes us. And he says, sanctify them. Carve them out of the world. Set them apart for your use. And how do you do it? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, it's not just the written word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made manifest and dwelt among us. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Now, here we go. On my whole life, up until this year probably, verse John 17:17, when I would read it, my thinking would be, the more I understand the truth, the more I'm set apart from this world. That's not terribly wrong, but it's not exactly right. Because Jesus says, remember, if I am the way, I am the truth. Here he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he is the word. It's not the truth that we understand. It's the truth that we're conformed to. You can understand it. But until you walk in it,
you're not sanctified. So it's really 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold Him as in a glass, behold the glory of the Lord as in a glass. We are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when He says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, it is the new birth. It is the transformation. It is renewing of the spirit of our mind. It is the complete renewal. It is putting off, literally. It's not trying to make the old man do better. It's putting him off and walking in this new man that God has created on the inside. That is how we're sanctified. And nothing else will substitute for that. And it's a returning to truth. We're speaking truth to our neighbor. Wasn't that a good point? Not to the world. Because we are members one of another. You're not a member with unbelievers. You're not part of the same body. So He's definitely talking about us. We're going to have to stop enabling each other's weaknesses. See, that now I'm understanding why you have to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Someone comes. I try not to do a lot of counseling, but I wind up doing counseling anyway. I'm telling you, it's so hard. It is hard. Somebody's already hurting. They're already beat up by the devil. And yet you sit with them for 30 minutes and everything coming out of their mouth is not truth. And it's the hardest thing. Everything in you wants to enable them and pat them on the back. And you have to be careful, because the last thing you want to do is become a religious Pharisee too. We're not talking about that at all. I don't think Jesus was a religious Pharisee, do you? But at the same time, we can no longer be enablers of... Yes, there it is. We can no longer be enablers of deception. There it is. And that's exactly what we've been doing. Human compassion and religion causes even the best of us. What I mean by that, I just mean the more mature of us, the ones that's been around, the ones that know, still yet we become enablers of deception. We're like the parent who keeps giving the kid the money and knowing that they're using it for the drugs. We're just postponing the inevitable. We're just keeping them in a state of addiction. You better not do that. And we've come to the place now where that's not... Now, He's going to somehow enable us, can I use it in a good way, to speak the truth in love. Do you reckon Jesus did that? That's how we're going to do it. Again, He is our pattern. There is no other substitute. So between a husband and wife, see now, Sue, I'm closing now. What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything at all. That's right. Sue, to her great credit, did not enable me past a certain point about 3 years ago, and I had gotten into a situation where my hips and my back were so bad that I was walking like a man 100 years old, and I mean, it hurt all the time. It hurt bad. And for some reason, and without going into the details, I had let my mouth just start running with the symptoms. I was just saying all kinds of faith-filled words like, my back is killing me. I'm going to be in a wheelchair. I'll tell you if this gets any worse. Just on and on and on. I was just like most humans and calling things that are the way they are. And now here's Sue speaking the truth in love. Bless her heart. She didn't do it arrogantly. She didn't do it in a put me down way. She said it to me as the person on earth that I know. There's two things that I know. See, I know Jesus loves me, and I know Sue loves me. See, I know that. And firmly, not disrespectfully, she put her little finger right towards my nose. She said, if you don't change what you're saying, the enemy is going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. That's probably the best example I can give you tonight of speaking the truth in love. It was absolutely the truth. It stopped the enabling. To be honest with you, I had a flash of anger for about 30 seconds. What? And then I realized, wait a minute. She's right. And the thing of it is, it changed me from that day forward. No longer was my mouth in agreement with my circumstances. Did it change overnight? It was still another year and a half before I really started having freedom. But the Titanic, the rudder on the Titanic, got changed that night. Now, it takes a long time to change a big ship, you know. But that, how do y'all, can y'all tell I'm not, I'm, can you tell I'm doing better? Well, that's a good example of speaking the truth in love. Some people, I got mad for a flash. Some people may get mad at you for a while. Still yet, you got to love them enough. Speak the truth in love. If you're not able to do it, then God's got you at the right church. What I mean by that, if it comes across judgmental, harsh, and even you can tell that wasn't the Spirit of Christ, well, you've got you at the right church. Just keep praying. He'll keep molding you and shaping you. But we're coming into that kind of a season. Say this with me. I am not and never will be an enabler of deception. I speak the truth in love with my neighbor. For we are members one of another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.